Hello and welcome to the Beer Nuts Productions podcast. My name is Goff, and today I am joined by a very special guest. This man is, well, people might think he's a bit Coco Bananas when I tell you what he does. He is an Iron Man, and that means he just races and races and races. He also trains kids with triathlon as well. We'll chat about all of that. It's Dave Daffy. How are you doing today, David?
Really good to be here, and thanks for the opportunity to come in and have a chat with you.
No, my pleasure. Absolutely, absolutely. So for those who don't know, Iron Man racing, what is it? As in like time and distance, what are we talking about?
All right. It's one of those crazy endurance events that you hear about more and more on social media. And it's been dubbed the toughest one-day endurance event in the world. And it consists of, I know this could be a bit crazy, but it's a 3.8-kilometre open water swim, often in the ocean. Then you get on your bike and ride for 180 kilometres. And then after that, you jump off and do a marathon. And
full 42 Ks.
42 Ks just to finish off the three bouts of exercise. So it's a cray-cray event. But when you do one, you either vow never to do one again, or in my case, you go, I love this. Let's bring on more.
And so a time frame. Let's start with your PB. What's your PB?
PB is a 10:13.
So that's 10 hours, not 10 minutes.
No, 10 hours, 13. I've done 9 of these around the world. 2 of them are the Ironman World Championships, one of which was in Kona, Hawaii, which a lot of people are familiar with, that race. That was in 2018, and then I just recently got back from Nice in France, where for the first time in its history, the World Championships for the men was held outside of Hawaii.
So we will talk about that in just a second, but before we get there, I think people would want to know why the hell you chose to do this in the first place.
Good question. So for many of you, you will not even know this particular show. You'll be familiar, the Nine's Wide World of Sports.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Of course.
Great show. I remember watching it as a youngster after my getting home from school sport. And one day I turned on and saw this crazy event happening in the lava fields of Hawaii. And I just saw these people doing a swim in this beautiful open water. Then they got on their bikes and bike crazy amount of distance and then finish with the marathon. And I just remember watching as like a 12, 13-year-old kid, this is awesome. So that, I guess, planted the seed. And then it wasn't until I was in my mid-20s that I actually got involved with the sport of triathlon, which this is, and I just got the bug from the get-go.
Would I be correct in assuming, though, it's not really a young man's game because you've got to sort of build your body up to it? Would that be a fair statement?
Well, you know what? Things are changing. And I guess as someone that likes to consider they have an open mind, I'm always thought that it was for the more mature and older generation of athlete. But we're just seeing in the last 5 years all that thrown out the window. And, you know, for instance, I've got 2 athletes I'm coaching that are 17 and they're gearing up for their first full distance Ironman, which is what we're talking about, next year. So they'll be 18. And that's actually the lowest age that you're allowed to do one of these events. So, you can't be younger than 18.
Okay. Yeah. So there's no juniors.
There's no juniors. So 18
is the
minimum.
Is that for medical reasons?
I believe so, yeah. And, you know, there's so many lawyers out there that they'd, you know, they've probably covered that and the company Ironman for that reason. But, yeah, 18's the smallest, youngest age, and people go up to, you know, the eldest athlete in Hawaii when I was there in 2018 was 89.
Crikey.
From Japan.
Did the whole race.
Wow-wee. Finished in 16 hours and 20 odd minutes and change.
Crikey. That's so, insane.
Yeah, insane, you know.
So take us through what the body goes through during a race.
It's I guess the whole gamut of emotions. Anyone that turns up to one of these events is pretty in good shape. You know, it takes at a minimum 24 weeks to train for one of these. And that's just not just following any, you know, oh, I'll get up and do a run this morning, I think. That's following a pretty regimented training schedule in and around work and family and your other life you know, hobbies. So it's a juggling act, but generally you turn up pretty in good shape. You know, as I say, you know, getting to the start line is 90% of the effort, and then race day is a bit of a celebration, because anything that can go wrong generally does on race day. And you've just got to be able to, you know, take the punches any which way they come and hit you and just roll with it, because the journey of doing one of these events with all the training that you do, it really teaches you a lot of valuable life lessons.
Like what?
Commitment. You know, just because you turn it, you get up one morning and feel, oh, gee, I don't think I can do today. Well, that's like calling up your boss and saying, I don't think I can come into work today. I don't feel too good. Suck it up. You know, get out of bed, go do that session. You know, you can't just do that in life. So it teaches you a lot of those discipline, you know, life skills, which I think is valuable. And the whole idea of just persevering, there is no constant emotion that, you know, happens in any one day. I think we can all attest to that. And doing an Ironman over a journey of 24 weeks to train for one and then turn up for race day, you get a whole, you know, cross-section of emotions that just hit you on race day. And that's kind of nice, because it's like life. You have moments where you're in this increasingly dark, narrow tunnel of darkness where you just, all you can think of is, why am I doing this? I'm hurting in every physical place in my body. But then something in the back of your mind is telling you to, you know, push on, because just on the other side of that pain is a moment of, you know, ecstasy. You know, and it does happen like that. And it doesn't just happen in one, it comes in waves. So
you've got to ride the wave.
You've got to ride the wave. That's exactly right. And I think that's what's the beauty of triathlon, and anything that we push your body through physical limits, you actually find what the mind can actually achieve beyond the physical barriers.
Well, you've talked about the mental, but what about your body itself? Because, I mean, you might be in peak physical condition at the start line, but when you get to the finish, you ain't in peak physical condition then. So take us through how the body sort of depletes and what happens, and how long does it take till your body gets back to a place of normal after a race?
Yeah, sure. Okay, all really good questions. I'll see if I can give them justice. So,
hey, all my questions are good questions.
Okay, yeah. Fair call. So I guess, you know, you're out there, if you look at the breakdown of the event, you're swimming nonstop in open water with a lot of people, 1,000-plus athletes. The world champs has 2,000 for over an hour. You know, the pros do it in around the 50 minutes. You know, an age grouper like myself will do it around that 70-minute mark, give or take 5 minutes. You know, so you're constantly moving. And you're taking on salt water, you're taking, you know, nothing's easy. So you basically come from a period of almost gasping for air and in a swim of that magnitude. And this seasickness that people get, you know, I haven't luckily had that effect, but I know some people take seasickness tablets before they start these Ironman races just because they can be vomiting during the swim.
Wow, okay.
And that's the first leg. You know, yeah. So,
and the odd kick in the face.
Oh, well, so my first Ironman, I've done 9 of them now. My very first one, which I took over 2 years to train for because I was just that scared of the distance. And basically I got kicked somewhere in the swim, and you just think, you got so much adrenaline coursing through your body that you're like, yeah, that's all fine. Oh, that, you know, soldier on. And then I come out of the swim and I notice I've got this blood just dripping down on my hand as I'm running into the transition. And anyway, little did I know, I actually had my nose broken from someone kicking, you know, in front. So, you know, I continued on. It was my first race. I did the whole race with a broken nose.
That's going to affect your breathing.
Losing blood the entire time.
Oh, I didn't think about that. Yes, of course.
Yeah, so I ended up crossing the line there, be pulled off the course multiple times by medics to clean up because I had a white, believe it or not, race outfit, that particular top.
Which was pink because of the water
exactly,
and the blood.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. So that actually looked pretty garish for a lot of people out on course. But anyhow, finished the race and I was in the medic tent for pretty well 2 hours getting a couple of bags of IV fluid put through me.
So generally speaking, you've talked us through the swim, so
yep.
The bike
is literally, you know, you're out there for, you know, on average around 6 hours. You know, some of my good bike legs are 5 hours, just over five. I had a pretty bad race in Nice, which, you know, for a whole host of other reasons, which we may get into. But I ended up doing that in, you know, close to 7 hours. It was 6 hours 50 something on the bike. That's a long time to be on a bike.
It's not just a numb bum that you get from sitting on that bike seat.
Like, you know, you think about how long if you travel from, you know, Burleigh Heads to Brisbane in a car and you cop traffic, you might be up for 2 hours, you know. You're riding your bike from 5 to 7 hours.
Is it cramping that hurts you the most?
Well, like I said, if you've done the training properly and you've been following a plan that's been put together by someone that knows what they're doing, you're pretty well turned up with enough fitness that you shouldn't be cramping due to those issues, like you say. It's more the mental. It's the mental ability to stay focused for that length of time. In a state where you're constantly exercising at a relatively, you know, significant effort.
Do you actually stop sweating because you're out of fluids?
Can happen. But, you know, I have these little tricks and hacks that I've learned over the years, and I have on my bike computer a little alert coming up saying drink alert, you know, and so that'll remind me because your mind does drift,
yes,
and go into some weird places.
Well, I assume it's got to, because otherwise all you do is focus on pain and that's the last thing you want to do.
Exactly, yeah. So, you know, I love the process of saying the three P's, I call it, which is be positive, okay? Whatever happens, just take the positive, you know, stance on it. Stay in the present. So you can't be thinking whilst you're on the bike
about the run.
You can't think about that. Yeah. You got to be right there in the present so that you don't come off your bike, go up someone that's in front that might have put the brakes on, any of these sort of things. You got to stay present. And then the last thing I like to tell myself and also athletes is just trust the process. So you've got this far by following a proven process. You've just got to have trust in that will carry you through to the next part, you know, in the race.
Now, I know when I exercise and I'm going, you know, hard, not like you clearly, but when I train, you know, I like doing my boxing training, for example, and by the end of the hour of boxing training, obviously your concentration goes down the toilet because your body is fatigued.
Yeah.
So like you say, you're riding on a bike and you're going at a fair clip. What, you go about 50 Ks an hour thereabouts? Or?
So it depends on, you won't hold that, you know, even the elites, the professionals that do this for a living day in, day out, they'll average 40 k an hour.
Right, so you're still going 40, which is fast.
A good age grouper will go anywhere in the 30 to high 30s.
But if you come off, my point is, if you come off, it's going to sting.
Yes.
So you don't want to do that.
No.
So you have to concentrate.
And Noosa Triathlon, which was the other weekend, I'm sure you've heard, being a Queenslander and all, I took great delight in seeing that my bike computer said I got to 87 k's an hour going down one of the hills there. So, you know, it's only you, a thin bit of rubber and the tarmac, you know, separating you from, you know, having a great day and you being carted off in an ambo.
So, but like I say, you got to keep your concentration. Your body is fatigued, yeah. So you got to keep your concentration. So you got to be focused at all times.
Yeah. And nutrition comes into this big time. So, you know, they call in endurance sport, you know, one a very overlooked discipline is nutrition. And it's not just what you do on race day, but it's what you do on day to day, how you fuel your body, which is fueling your mind as well, will play a significant matter, you know, factor in your overall training and therefore your performance on race day.
So I asked, being as you've brought up nutrition, so we're going to go there. Now, I asked Steve Monteghetti when I had him on the podcast. People can scroll back and listen to that interview. A similar question. Now, I've asked, yeah, good guy. It was a great interview, actually. So if you do scroll back through the archives, folks listening, you can listen to my interview with Steve Monteghetti. It was very interesting. Now, I asked him this. I've asked you this privately once because I'm a child and it was the first thing I asked you. Yeah. And you discussed nutrition. And that is obviously you're racing for 11 hours. You've got to go. I mean, the human body is the human body. You've got to go to the bathroom. And I remember you saying, if you get your nutrition right, it's not too bad. But you also said that if you don't go to the bathroom at least twice during a race, then you're dehydrated and you shouldn't be racing. Can you take us through the bathroom situation while racing?
Yeah, sure. Happy to do that. So it's one of those things. We all have to do it if we're a human. And in an endurance race of this sort of magnitude, yeah, you're going to go. So luckily in the swim, you know, everyone's doing it. It's not a learn to swim pool. It is the ocean.
So no purple
you know,
dye.
The good news is there, you know, everyone does their thing in the swim. But on the bike, like when you're going for that long, and 180 Ks, like I said, it's between 5-7 hours in that range, that vicinity, and sometimes really hot. You know, I've raced in some conditions that are 49 degrees Woo. Celsius, you know, and then others like Hawaii, which is around that 30 degrees, but high humidity. So basically, if I'm not going at least twice over that distance, I'm not taking in enough fluid, you know. So there is a knack to it, but basically, you know, officials out on course, you know, don't necessarily, you know, if they do see you, you could get penalised.
Oh, really?
But basically, the trick to doing it is you get better at it the more you do it, obviously. But you grab a water bottle and then literally you've got to just learn to relax as you're cycling, which is a bit of a skill, and then you just let it go. And then you generally, we have a drafting rule in triathlon, which in long course is 12 metres. Mm-hmm. So the person behind you, you know, if they're drafting and they cop it in the face, well, then they shouldn't be drafting. You know, they should be following the rules. But if not, you know, generally, you know, all you've got to do is, you know, watch out for the person behind you. And then you just get the water bottle and you throw that over you as you're doing it. And generally it's a cooling mechanism, but at the same time it's getting rid of some of the fluids. Yeah. And that's pretty well, you obviously don't want to time it that you're about to start a climb or you're going up a hill, because that's pretty hard.
Okay.
So a slight downhill is preferable. Yeah.
So let's talk about the World Championships then in Nice, because that was only a month or two back.
Yeah.
So how did you go? You said the race was a bit of a struggle for you.
Yeah, so basically, you know, anyone that does these sort of things, we always love to do, you know, we use the last race as a bit of a guide for how you're going to go for the next one and so forth. So physically, you know, I have this saying, older yet faster, but literally, you know, as I've gotten older and more experienced in this sport, I have gotten faster over the years, particularly over the longer distances. And leading into this race, I had probably the best preparation in terms of numbers. And by what I mean by numbers is, for anyone out there that's used to training, is you've got all these sort of metrics that you're looking at, you know, how fast you can run at threshold, you know, what your heart rate does under different intensity levels, you know, and how that transfers over long duration, right? So when I look at that, I was in the best shape I'd ever been in, you know, so that was all, you know, and that was a big tick. And that, you know, that's coming off the back of qualifying for the World Championships, which I'd done 15 weeks earlier. So, you know, I'd done 12 weeks of solid training.
How many hours, like generally speaking, how many hours a day are you training?
So for me, I'm going anywhere from 15 hours a week through to my peak was around high 20s, 28 hours.
And is that sort of evenly dispatched over the swim, bike and run, or is it one you favour?
So basically the bike's around half of your duration of a triathlon, you know, so generally, you know, 50 odd percent of your training should be dedicated around the bike, because that's where your most bang for your buck comes from.
I get you.
Yeah. The swim, you know, you certainly got to put some hours into the pool, but you really can't win a race from having a great swim, but you can lose one. You know, so for me, I'm a developing swimmer. I learn as an adult, as a, you know, person in their late 20s. So the swim for me is just about getting to a level where I'm comfortable coming out of the water so I can then attack on the bike and in the run.
All right, so going back
to Nice. So I got over there and I got some family over in London. So I basically, you know, with work commitments and things like that, I was only allowed, you know, a bit over two weeks, you know, before I had to come back and, you know, do responsibilities and things like that. So I jammed a lot in. And that was probably my first mistake. So I caught up with my family in London before going to Nice. And then I thought I'd allowed enough time to get over jet lag and all that. But you know what? We live here on the Gold Coast a long way from Nice. And it had been some time since I'd travelled to that part of the world. And basically I just was just had nothing on race day. So, you know, I allowed 9 days in terms of travelling, but, you know, I had time in London, then got down to Nice, you know, 5 days before the race. And everything felt good. I certainly wasn't sick, none of that. But just my legs just didn't show up on race day.
Was it like, I mean, those who go to the gym just as a regular training person, some days you go to the gym and your body feels great and you can just exercise, no worry. And some days you might feel good, but your body's just like, I'm not interested today. And there's not a lot you can do about it.
Yeah. And you know what? It was one of those things where I was looking at my numbers going up on one of the climbs, and there was firstly a 20-kilometer climb going up some amazing, you know, mountains, as you'd expect in France, where the Tour de France, this was a stage of the Tour de France.
Okay.
So, you know, some amazing climbs and things involved in this bike leg. But for whatever reason, I was just like, you know what? It's just not your day, Dave. You know, I tried everything. I tried eating more. I tried fluids. I tried every trick that I had in my artillery.
So was the goal then just to finish?
Well, yeah, I went, you know what? I'm in an amazing part of the world. I'm doing what I love. If this is as bad as it gets, hey, suck it up and just deal with it, Dave.
That's
you
cool,
know?
Yeah.
And that's you know, that's one thing I've learnt from doing this sport. You've just some days you just got to go, you know what? This is life. Make most out of lemonade. Make lemonade out of lemons, as they say, you know.
And what about the recovery then? So after you finish a massive race, like not necessarily Nice, but just a race in general, you've been racing for 11 hours.
Yeah,
obviously,
yeah.
You would have lost a few kilos, no doubt. But what's the recovery time frame until your body's feeling somewhat normal again?
Yeah, it's one of those things, because you eat so much, you know, processed and sugar and stuff like that during a race, you sleep terribly the night after doing one of these things. So I get almost zero sleep, quality sleep, for like the first couple of days after doing one of these events. And then, you know, as I've gotten older and I'm in my late 40s now, it's basically I have this delayed effect. So I'll feel good for a few days, and then come about 4 days, 5 days after, I seem to get this like jet lag of fatigue, you know.
So just
and
that's sort of general body fatigue.
Yeah, and it just hangs with me for a couple of weeks. And then, you know, this year I came back and then got straight back into work, and then 4 weeks later I was racing again. And we had the Queensland Club Championships on, and I was doing a race where, you know, it wasn't huge. It was a 2K swim, 60K bike and a 15K run. And even then, that was 4 weeks after, I was still holding fatigue.
You were cooked?
You know? Yeah, yeah. Still feeling. Like, I had an okay race, pretty good race, but it wasn't until maybe 6 weeks afterwards I was like, hey, I'm back to normal.
Oh, okay, cool.
So there you go, 6 weeks.
6 weeks. That's a long time, man.
Yeah.
Now, like I said in the intro, you do also train kids, triathlon.
Yeah.
So two-part question. Firstly, what was your motivation for that? But also, what do you focus on with the kids? Is it about getting them moving, or do you actually, you know, look at their gait when they're running or their swimming technique, or is it more about getting the kids moving and enjoying sport and activity, generally speaking?
Yeah, well, look, I consider myself a kid that just, you know, is living in an adult's body, right? So I just love being around infectious personalities, which kids have, you know? So I really take a lot of delight in coaching them and helping them in their journey of being healthy and active. And so that's the purpose behind me, you know, being involved with kids sport. I just see it, you know, in the last probably 10 years with all the technology of iPads and phones and, you know, gaming and stuff. Just, you know, we didn't have that really. We had Space Invaders, you know, Atari back in my day when I was a kid that age. But, you know, Mum and Dad always said, no, you're out, we'll call you for dinner, go out and play with your other, you know, kids in the street. And I just think that's a healthy part of childhood. And so I, you know, consider myself in a fortunate position where I can actually encourage that and throw fuel on people's, you know, wishes to be healthy and lead a healthy life.
And is that your main focus with the kids, or are you like critiquing that what they're doing, or does it depend on the child?
Yeah, you know what, it depends. You know, I think if you try and force too much, you know, there's so much pressure in people's lives now, whether you're an adult or a kid, you know, what they do in their spare time should be fun.
Yes.
And that's the first thing that, you know, I want kids to enjoy is enjoy what they're doing, you know. So if they want to, you know, excel and become better, sure, I can help them. And, you know, Teresa, my coaching partner, which we you know, spend a lot of time helping juniors, you know, well, it's a fine line, and you only develop this over years of coaching, of knowing when to gently push. It's got to be intrinsic, you know, it's got to come from internally, because otherwise you'll kids will just get pushed to a point and then they'll just, you'll never see them again.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not good for anyone.
That's the opposite of what you
exactly
want.
Exactly, yeah. So, yeah. I don't know. Does that answer that question?
No, absolutely. Yeah. No, I was just curious as to what you focus on with the kids. But that's good, man. It's all about enjoyment and getting them active and having a fun time and enjoying exercise, generally speaking. Because they might not grow up to be hardcore athletes, but at least they, when they're adults, they might, you know, enjoy just general going to the swim and having a, you know, just jumping in the pool and doing some laps and keeping themselves fit and healthy.
Yeah, totally, 100%. So they couldn't agree with you more.
Die of a heart attack when they're 40. So, you know, it's not what we want.
We don't want that.
No.
We don't want that.
And what a wonderful note to end the interview on is death and destruction. So thank you. So actually, I should say, give yourself a plug, the TRX and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, so Teresa and I run a club here on the northern end of the Gold Coast called Team T-Rex Triathlon Club. You can look us up on Facebook. We're on Instagram. Our web address is teamtrex.com.au. Just look out for the orange, the pink and the black. And just, I will say this, it's happened now 2 years running. We're Queensland Club champions.
Oh, well, see.
And for the first time ever, we got the quinella with being junior club champions as well this year. So we're going to give ourselves a rap on that.
There you go. David Daffy just kicking goals left, right and centre. I love it. Fantastic. So thank you so much for coming in today, Dave.
Pleasure. Glad to be, you know, given the opportunity to have a chat and chin wag about all crazy things endurance.
Yeah, no. People at home just flabbergasted, I'm sure, about what you do. And especially, look, and again, this sounds very insulting, but a man, I mean, you're not a young, you're not a spring chicken, you know, you, like you said, you're in your 40s, not a young dude, and yet you're traveling the world doing all these crazy bloody distances. Like, I love my exercise, but I reckon 11 hours I think is a bit heavy for me, so you know.
I've certainly got that cray cray mental attitude, and I find that this sport certainly tapers me down, you know. calms the storm.
Do you have a lot of energy? Like, generally speaking, if you didn't do this, would you just be bouncing off the walls ADHD style if you didn't do this?
You know, I just have that personality type where it's all or nothing.
Okay.
You know, so, you know, I'm lying on the couch watching some Netflix, or I'm out running a marathon. You know, there's no middle ground. You know, so I just say go hard. And you know, it's not about going hard all the time. But I just, you know, we're not here for a long time, so you may as well make the most of your time while we do have it.
Well, you know what? That's a better note than death and destruction to end the interview on. So thank you again, Dave. And make sure you at home like and subscribe to the podcast. Look up Dave's T-Rex group as well, of course. And 5 stars for the Beer Nuts Productions podcast, if you please, on the rate and review column. And put a friendly comment in as well, because that helps. And of course, beernutsproductions.com is your one-stop shop for all your entertainment needs. So until next time, we will talk to you then.